Welcome to the Wow Marriage Podcast. In our marriage, we had a blast in the whoa, this is awesome phase, struggled and endured through the what was I thinking phase, and fought hard to get to the wow marriage we have today. It's our goal to share with you some practical tools, biblical principles, and help you reach the wow marriage and stay there. So buckle up, get ready. It's going to be a great ride. Now let's get going.
Hey, Wow Marriage family, supporters, and friends. Let me tell you something. We just came off of an awesome weekend of our Marriage Conference 2024, Becoming One. We had some great content, we had great speakers, and we really, really poured into your hearts. We had a Q&A session that we are going to share with you right now. We answered a lot of questions, and we're going to get to you and answer more questions for you. So, hey, stay tuned and sit back and watch this Q&A session and see what the Lord has for you. We call you blessed. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We are going to start open up with some questions here. I know a lot of folks have some questions. Oh, one came out. All right. I guess that'll be the one. What is the most important thing to carry out in the husband's strand? Cover your wife. Protect her. Watch over her. Be her provider. You have got to love her. You've got to let her know that she is the most important person on this earth to you and for you. Of course, we're all Christians here, so we know it's about Jesus Christ first and foremost. But if your wife knows she does not have first place in your life, man, it is your fault. It's bottom line. I don't even need a scripture for that. But if you do, come see us.
Oh. What are some of the most important tools young or married couple should be sure to have? A strong foundation in the Word of God. And realistic expectation. Don't think Cinderella is going to be a lot of work, but it's well worth it. But if you don't have a strong relationship with God, you will be broke very easily. And that's what the enemy will try to do. It will be exciting at the beginning, but the next day always come, just like Pastor Terry was preaching on Friday night, and you always can run to your strong foundation, which is your relationship with God and the Word, to encourage you, to build your faith, and to have expectation, what to expect, what is expected of you, first of all, and what is expected of your spouse.
Okay, I'm sorry, one thing. I'm a preacher, so I have to give you a scripture. If not, it's my opinion. Ephesians 5:25 and 1 Peter 3:7.
Amen. Amen. How do you address the feelings, pain, and memories of a former marriage? That's a great question. Actually, Chris and I both have been married before, and so initially we did both bring a lot of baggage into the marriage. So I would encourage you, number one, to walk in forgiveness of the other person, of yourself as well, but also to be mindful that it is not your spouse's responsibility to pay for previous relationships. And so that marriage didn't work out. It's in the past. Repent. Forgiveness is there. You walk in that grace and that forgiveness, and then you move on and you focus on what's in front of you and you focus on your marriage, because this is today and this is my forever. And so I cannot allow my past to interfere or have space in my current. And so I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive previous spouse. Chris has had to do the same thing, and this has to be the focus.
It's like a raffle. All right. Lucky number one. Okay, it says, before marriage, our sex life was super spicy, but now that we're saved, I'm wondering if it's still okay. So, Yeah, spicy. Listen, most of you have never been to my house, but in my bedroom, all kinds of poles and things to swing from and whatnot. No, I'm just kidding. No, absolutely, I think that if you've just gotten saved, don't get wrapped around the axle about all the oh my goodness. I know that, you know, walking as a Christian is about purity and living holy and living clean. But I also don't believe for a second that your marriage bed has to suffer, or the things that you like or enjoy together have to suffer because of it. If you're comfortable and you guys are having fun, rock out. But I mean, if it's become a problem, I would challenge you that you're probably not feeling. I don't believe that that's God's condemnation. I mean, if you're doing something wrong, you know you're doing something wrong. But if you're just wondering, is this okay now that we're saved? I think God'll be all right.
Okay, this next question, I want to. These are all anonymous, so this person right here, whoever wrote this, if you attend our church, please come and see us. If not, go see your pastor. I have to answer this question, and I have three different scriptures here. It says, how do you not allow resentment to build when you have noticed patterns about that person that do not seem to change, no matter how many times you've communicated it? When resentment has built in a partner, and are some steps to begin to undo? What are some steps to begin to undo the resentment and become close again? First of all, I want to tell you that, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with your own heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Also, 1 Peter 4:3, it says, depends on the translation that you have. It says, the time now past is sufficient for you to put away all the ways of the Gentiles, all the lewdness, all the lusts, all the adulterous things, and everything that you've done. But then if you go back into Proverbs 3:1, it says, my son, hide your word in my heart. Okay, do not forsake the teachings. But the thing is, if you don't have God's word, then you have nothing to hide in your heart. You have nothing to go back to. So with this here, you'd have to come and sit and speak with someone to help you, because things like this have been going on for a long time without help. There's a lot of unresolved issues. There's unresolved grief, disenfranchised grief. So you need some help, because you've been trying to do it on your own for a while, and this is where you've gotten. So you need to come get some help.
What are some things that you can do with your spouse to spend quality time together other than watching TV? All I can say is no, everything requires money, but you have to be meaningfully about it. You know, one of the first things me and Chris do, we put our phone away. And nowadays, there's so many resources that you can use to spark the moment. Me and Chris, at one point, we got this book where it was a question you should ask to your spouse to break out ice and to make meaningful conversation. Look it up. You can Google it. Start talking. Cook together, but talk. You can cook. You can do every regular thing that you probably will do. Like me and Chris like to fix and clean our home together. What we do that we talk. We talk about the Bible. We talk about different things. But we do meaningful conversation is what really is not what we do. It's how we do it together.
Amen. That's good. So mine says, what does it look like to wait faithfully for a husband or wife? And so the way I'm reading this, if I'm reading it correctly, it's a single person who's waiting for their future spouse. And so what I would say, waiting faithfully, is even though you're not married to that spouse yet, you may not even know who that spouse is, but remain faithful to that future spouse. That's in everything about you. You know, keep your body faithful, keep your mind faithful, keep your heart faithful to that future spouse. One amazing way to do it, I kind of touched on it in my message, is to practice that relationship with this vertical relationship. Practice that relationship just in honor and submission to your parent. You know, just learning to conduct yourself as the best version of yourself so that when it is time to get married, that's what you're giving that person.
Amen. It says, what is your go-to verse for powering through an issue in your marriage? Go-to verse. You know, it may sound corny, but I would say if I had to peg any one verse, I would say Ephesians 5:33. And I'm going to paraphrase, but what it speaks to me is, in everything that's happening in my relationship, any issue that I'm going through, I need to find me and what my part is in the problem or what I'm dealing with. Because if I look at the issue that we're going through as, okay, well, she's caused this or she's done this, or where she could be completely, I mean, most of the time she is to blame for all of our situations, but if I gotta look inward at myself and I gotta say, okay, Chris, what is the role that you have to play? And if you truly love this woman, how can you support change or support, you know, bringing some type of, you know, improvement to the situation? So that's me, Ephesians 5:33, find yourself.
First of all, Chris, be careful. You said the N-word.
This way. I know.
It's okay. Okay, this is a great question. Now, in all seriousness, this is a very, really, really good question. How do you move forward after adultery and build back the self-esteem and security? First of all, it's not about your self-esteem, okay? If you're whoever committed the adulterous act, all of that is on them. It has nothing to do with your self-esteem unless you allow it to affect you. Because when people do things, you know, like that, and it's not necessarily because something is missing at home. It's just a breakdown of communication in your decision-making process. More than likely it is, but if you allow that to happen, then you have made that, the person who committed the adultery has made that decision to do that. Now, as far as getting back together and reconciling after that, you have to go straight to the scripture. It has to be Galatians 5:16. You know, if you walk in the spirit, you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. If you constantly remember and you constantly bring it back, that's what's going to be there in front of you all the time. We have to look at each other through the eyes of Christ. Through salvation and through his grace and mercy, God looks at us as though we'd never sinned. He looks at us in Christ. We are clean and cleansed by the blood. Way back in Isaiah 43:25, when he was talking to the children of Israel, he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and I will not remember thy sins. So we have to choose men or women, whoever is the person that the adultery was committed against. We have to choose to get past that. It has to be a daily decision that you're going to forgive and that you're going to move forward, because you have to make that decision. And then you go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you are a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all these things are of God, who reconciled us through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, the person who committed adultery, if they've repented, then they've already been forgiven by God. So it's up to us to do the forgiving as well and to walk that out daily.
What advice do you have for making a marriage last, and how do you react to disagreement? For me, making the foundation for me is to please God above pleasing myself. You will never lose when you try to please God, because your blessings come from him. And that will cause you to be a better wife or a better husband because your motivation in your heart is to please your Lord and Savior. Whether you feel like yell or act a fool or whatever that may be, you will not do it because now you try to please God, especially in those intimate moments where your wife or your husband is not around. You're going to behave as a woman or man of God because you want to please God. The second thing, how do you do when you there's disagreement? God is greater. God is greater than my husband, his decision, his heart. There was a point of our life there where Chris wanted to move out to Panama. And I just tag along. I'm like, okay, all right. And every time he says something, Father, I would not have an argument. I would not tell him, I don't believe that. I don't think that's God. I would just, God, you're greater and you know how to talk to your son. And I would leave it alone and allow God to do what only God can do, which is an expert on changing people's heart.
How do you combat fatigue and daily stress to make time for intimacy? So, to me, you have to be intentional throughout your day to have intimacy with your spouse, right? Maria talked about it. Intimacy is more than just the physical act of sex in bed at night, right? And so, if there is intentionality in being connected to my spouse mentally and emotionally throughout the day, it's going to come a little bit more natural at night, even though your physical body might be a little bit tired. Maria also said it, you know, you just have to make a decision that you're going to push through and you're going to do that because it's important. And so while your body might be tired, I'll tell you what, there's not a whole lot better to help alleviate that stress than that physical contact with your spouse. So to me, the stress of the day can be washed away really quickly through that. So allow it to be that. Allow it to be therapeutic. It can be if you let it be. And if you push past the natural mind of, man, I'm really, really tired right now, that'll go away really quickly.
Yikes. Okay. We fight like crazy over parenting. He lives with so much care over every little thing or behavior, and I'm too carefree. So if you find yourself on two different planes when it comes to parenting, this can present itself in a lot of different ways, whether you have a situation like Lisa and I had with Christopher, who I brought into the relationship, or maybe, you know, you favor one child over the other, but usually that's where I think we've seen that in the past. But first thing you have to do is you have to put that thing to bed. You have to get on the same page, because if there's a reason, you know, there's a reason for everything. There was a reason that I felt like Lisa was harder on Christopher than I was. And because I felt like she was harder on Christopher than I was, then I felt like it was necessary for me to swoop in and rescue him out of, you know, trouble every time, you know, that thing, you know, presented itself. But the reality was he was a problem, believe me. But the real problem was that Lisa and I, we came into the relationship. The truth of the matter is Lisa couldn't have kids. This was never part of our conversation. Matter of fact, we did our premarital counseling. You know what? Children never came up. We already, you know, we had like our makeshift ready, you know, child, like you've seen the movie Prom Child. That's got it right there with the hat on. And we didn't believe it was going to be an opportunity for us to have children together. So we never had the conversation. Well, we obviously didn't know God, because God had a plan, and if we would have prepared, we would probably have been in better shape. But we weren't on the same page. You have to put aside the child's behavior, the kid's behavior, and all that, and get down to the root problem. What is the real issue that you're dealing with? Is it that maybe you have a soft spot for this child and you don't think the other person is, or maybe you just think that, you know, they're just flat out too hard? I don't know. You know, but you have to get together and you have to have that conversation, and it can't be in a setting where the spouse is going to feel like they're under attack. Put your feelings aside and decide if it's really about that child, then the things that you're saying to each other, it shouldn't matter. The we're trying to become a better household, a better family, a better couple, a better development center for this child that we brought into this world. Whether you ask God to help you with that or not, they're here now, and now it's your responsibility, so you better figure it out. And the best way you can do that is put your feelings aside, get in the same room and talk about what's really the problem. Why do you feel the way you feel? And you have to be able to hear each other. And sometimes, you know, I'm going to talk about it. The word is the truth, and the truth hurts.
Amen. How much time we got, Lynn Scott? 15. Okay. Thank you, Pastor. No, sir. Okay. This question here is, as the man in a relationship, I'm on the road for a ton of work. How do you maintain intimacy when you're apart? Well, I'm going to tell you what I would do, and you could do the same thing. Just pray, stay in the word. Now, remember, communication is very, very important for intimacy. You're not going to have intimacy without the communication. So what I would do is, I mean, when we were apart, when I traveled quite a bit, we would talk daily. You know, we would call and we would talk. We would pray over the phone with each other. And, you know, you also have to keep your mind pure. You have to keep your mind in the Word of God. You have to be led by the Spirit. You have to trust in the Lord with your whole heart. You have to do and make decisions daily. And if you are ever in a situation, or you find yourself in a situation where it could be a bit wrong, get out immediately. You know, I spent a lot of nights in hotels, and there's people running around with these little halfway bikini things on in the pool. You know what, folks? I never hung out at the pool. I went to my room. I went to the business center. You know, do not be found where you're not supposed to be. Because if you're found where you are supposed to be, you just might catch something.
Well, this question is kind of silly, but he's asking, what is chocolatito exactly means? Small chocolate. He's skinny and he's brown, so I call him chocolatito. The next question is, my spouse is very messy. Help. What you could do. No, you know what? Do a system and remember your strength and your weakness. You might be really good at cleaning, and he may be really good at math or keeping, you know, what? I don't know. I'm saying this. I don't know. Is that? I know I'm a great housekeeper. It might be the other person is not a great housekeeper. You got to have a system. Well, he's like my husband. I don't do trash. I don't put gas. I don't cut the grass. You know, there's certain things I will not do because I'm not good and I don't have any desire to do. So what you guys have to do, talk and create a system what it was for your marriage. Maybe he's not very good cleaning, but maybe he can go outside and entertain the children while you clean the kitchen. You have to figure out a way that it works for your marriage. It's not that he's lazy, him or she's lazy. That might not be his strong suit. Figure out something that he's good at and let him do that part where you keep up the management of the home. That's what I meant.
Amen. So I'm gonna before I read the question, you may not like my answer, but it's gonna be okay. How do you reconcile lacking trust in your husband to handle the household finances, particularly when the wife's career requires separate finances due to payment sources? So first, I'm going to address the first half of this, which is how do you reconcile lacking trust in your husband to handle finances? If you can trust your husband with your naked physical body and your naked physical emotions, you should be able to trust him with the finances. That being said, as Maria said, everybody has their strengths. Maybe his strength isn't managing money. And so that's why the two of you have to be partners in that. You have to work together and talk through things. The second half of it, when the wife's career requires separate finances due to payment sources, to me, there is nothing in this world that would require me to withhold any part of finances within our house from this man. And so if it's a visibility thing, give him visibility. But that being said, if it's like you're a business owner and you have your own business, okay, well, the business money belongs to the business, but the business should be paying income into the household. You should be earning wages from the business. Wages earned from the business is household funds. And so household funds is not mine and his, it is ours. And when you're one and becoming one, that's in everything, finances included. And there's no reason whatsoever that you should be withholding any finances from each other at all. The only thing that you're doing when you're keeping a barrier in finances is you're creating, Chris says it all the time to people when we're counseling and talking to them, if you have your private money, what you have for yourself is an escape route. And that's not okay. And so what I would challenge you is to think about, what is your husband thinking? Can I trust her? She's got this money over here that I don't have access and visibility to, and that is now separation of house. So what is she doing with it? And so you have to marry everything. Pastor said that. You marry everything. And that means finances too, no matter what.
How will you make time for each other when you're both very busy? What are some things you do? Lisa and I are, I wouldn't say very busy, but we're busy. And we always make time for each other. But if you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you're too busy and you're having a hard time, I'm willing to bet that you probably got some hobbies maybe you need to lay down, or some video games on your phone you can put away. I don't think that you're ever too busy to, you know, for this. If this is not the most important thing, then you missed the boat already. But if, you know, I'll just confess, we went on a retreat and God dealt with me harshly before we went on the retreat. And I sat down and I laid out this like laundry list. And I'm like, I like to ski. I like to golf. I like to fish. I like to hunt. I like to play video. I'm like, well, I like to do a lot of things that are like really, really expensive and really, really time consuming and really, really costly. And God says, don't you think maybe you could put a few of those things away so that your wife's not going without? And I was like, ooh. So maybe the answer is having some balance in your own personal fun time to make sure that there is time for this. Because if you don't, then maybe this won't be there and you'll be left going, I don't know what happened. I don't know why she left. I don't know why he left. I'll tell you why. Because golf was more important. Because fishing was more important. Because Xbox was more important.
Okay, so folks, we are not going to get to all of these questions, but we will hit them on our podcast. So you guys subscribe, check it out. We're going to answer the remaining questions on the podcast. Just let me know when it's time to stop, Elijah. Your spouse treats you like you are their. Wait a minute. Your spouse treats you like you are their mother. Okay, maybe they treat you like, well, okay. Ephesians 5:22, each of you have a role. It's biblical. Get biblical, stand in scripture. There's no scripture that says you are to mother your husband or your wife. It says, man, you are to love. Wife, you are to submit. Ephesians 5:22 and 5:25. 1 Peter 3:1 says, wives, submit to your husbands, okay? And it's the same thing in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, husbands, love your wives, you know, treat her as a weaker vessel because she is a woman, okay? That means you are to protect her, and then you are to treat her as a co-heir with Christ so that your prayers will not be hindered. So if each of you are fulfilling your role in the marriage scripturally, you will not be led by the physical, I'm sorry, by the emotions of what you think you're doing, which is right or wrong. If you abide by the scripture, go by what the Bible says, and then you won't have this issue. Okay, you're not in control. It's not a 50-50 like Mama Maria said. If it was a 50-50, you know, those are plans for a divorce. Okay, each of you put in 100%. And your marriage will be successful.
What to do when you no longer physically desire your spouse? husband and how do you pray? I think it boils down to communication. Me and Chris always talk about, do you like this? What you will, you know, what we're going to wear, whatever. Communicate. Telling someone that is, say, but you know, I think you're very attractive, but you could lose a few pounds, or let's go to the gym together. You know what? Not you.
You said I was chocolatito.
If you lose any more weight, you disappear, babe. So, you know, you always encourage one another, be open. That doesn't mean you don't love them, but then everybody needs a little tune-up. If the barn is painted, paint it, right? So, and pray, and they start speaking those things that are not as a word. Remind that you're in love with the soul of the man, that where he is, instead of the outward appearance as well. But, you know, encourage one another to fix yourself a little bit. Not that that's the main priority, of course not. But we are to call, take care of our temple of the Holy Spirit. So if we're not taking care of the temple, that's, you know, as a Christian, God calls us accountable to do that.
All right, so how do you avoid dismissing your spouse's feelings if you don't agree with them? Stop dismissing their feelings. So just because you don't agree with them doesn't mean that it's not real to them. It is something they're experiencing. It is something that they're going through. And so don't invalidate their feelings simply because you don't think that they should feel that way. You know, have conversations and let them know that you are a safe space for them to be able to reveal how they're feeling about a thing. And it doesn't necessarily mean you have to fix it. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it. It doesn't mean that that same situation has to make you feel the same way. But you're meant to be a cheerleader and an encourager to your spouse. And so don't dismiss them. It's just it's that simple, whether you agree with it or not. I lived by the mantra, just because it's not my way doesn't make it the wrong way, for many years as I retrained my brain. And that's part of that too. Just because I don't feel the same way about a situation doesn't mean it's not important to him. And it doesn't mean that it doesn't grieve him or concern him. We're not meant to carry the concerns. And so that's an opportunity. Okay, babe, I love you, and I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Let me be a support for you in this moment, because right now, as you're going through that, I can be a strength and help you and keep us moving in the forward direction.
Okay. It says, if you've ever felt this way, how do you overcome fear or feeling that you said yes to the wrong person? You see who I'm married to? I felt this way for probably the first 10 years of our relationship. Listen to me. People don't understand. When I say this, when we met was like fatal attraction. I was not looking for anybody. I couldn't get this woman away from me. And I don't know what I done did, but I done did something. But I felt this way, and I'm not trying to make light of this, but I'm willing to bet that when you feel this way, things are probably not going your way, and that's probably the wrong time for you to be thinking about something like this. If ever I wonder or I sat here, I'll think about it right now if you want. No, there's no way. There's no way. When I look at Lisa and I think about what my life would be like without her, that's all enough said. I can't imagine what you want to know what my life would be like? Next time you go past, drive out Walmart by Applebee's, you see that dude standing with the sign, that'd be me. Okay? That's what my life would be. It would break me. It really would. No, believe me, I'm not trying to dismiss God in my life. But what I'm saying is, I can't imagine my life without her, because that's how even though I would probably not be that guy on the corner, that's how I would feel. I would feel that way for a long time. I'm just being honest with you. I can't imagine what my life would be like without her. I mean, I hear my buddies in the army talking about their Tinder and their TikToker accounts and all that, and I'm like, can you imagine me on the market? No way. I'd be broke. Like, friend me? You did not look like this. It would be bad.
Hey, everyone. From the Wild Marriage team, we want to let you know that we have concluded our Q&A, and we want to thank everyone for submitting your questions, and I really hope that we had the opportunity to answer everything you had. And again, thank you for joining in with us for our Wild Marriage 2024, and get ready and be prepared for what we have coming for our Wild Marriage 2025. We love you, and God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Wild Marriage Podcast. We pray that the experiences shared today will not only bless you, but inspire you to have your very own Wow Marriage. To stay connected, please be sure to subscribe to this channel and also visit our website at thewowmarriage.com to watch this podcast and others in video. We call you blessed in Jesus' name.